You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello and welcome to another installment of the Hour of Power radio program, hosted by Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr. We're glad you could join us this morning as we delve into the Word of God. So prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, and grab a Bible. Now here's your host, Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr.
Your face to shine upon your people and being gracious unto your people, lifting up your countenance upon your people, and giving your people peace. We thank you for giving us ears to hear. Oh, glory to God, a Christ-like mind. Thank you for your joy being our strength. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we give you glory, we give you the honor and the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, praise God and amen. Hug somebody and tell them that you love them. In Jesus' name. Expounding on things that I had been teaching prior, at least for the past several years. How many is just familiar with me just teaching about the mouth and what was coming out of our mouth and what are we saying? Amen. I just believe that God was preparing us, amen, for a season. Somebody say, for a season. Oh, glory to God. And so I really want to speak now from a perspective and show you what God is saying for this year. Amen. And I want you to grab your Bibles. And I want you to go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 5. As a matter of fact, go to verse 1. We're gonna use the same scriptures that I used the other night. Amen. I was talking about watering your ground. Amen. And how important it is, amen, to water your ground as a Christian. You have the ability to water your ground the same way. And I won't go into that. Amen. I'm not going to backtrack. Amen. Oh, glory to God. And so I want everybody to stand one hot second if you can. One more hot second for the reading of the precious word of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Where is my little... All right, daughter, read.
Genesis chapter 2, 1 through 5.
Uh-huh.
Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made.
Uh-huh.
Verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created.
Now God's about to backtrack, amen, and he's about to go and begin to talk about the third day. He's backtracking. Has anybody ever told a story? You told a story and then you kind of backed up a little bit and begin to point out some things and fill in the blank concerning some things. Anybody besides me? Every once in a while? Thank you, sir.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Read, daughter.
These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Verse 5. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth.
So in other words, there were no plants, no shrub, no plants. Read.
And every herb of the field before it grew,
uh-huh,
For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth.
It wasn't raining. There was no such thing as rain. Moses is writing this, praise God. And when Moses was in God's presence, in God's glory, God began to reveal to him the beginning. Come on. And so we see Moses talking about rain, or bringing up rain. Oh, glory to God. But at this time, there was somebody say, no rain.
No rain.
Read.
And there was not a man to till the ground.
There was no man on the planet. There was no animals on the planet. Come on, read.
But there was a mist from the earth, and it watered the whole face of the ground.
Some Bible say there was streams of water. And then the Bible says it watered the whole face of the ground. Not just one spot, not just one or two spots. But it watered the whole ground. That means that, guess what? We're talking about the entire earth being watered. Oh, glory to God. From water coming out of the earth. Now, quickly going over this, that when man began to sin, eventually the rain, and you can be seated, the water stopped coming from out of the earth. And the Bible says it began to come from above. Come on, you got to be worthy. You got to be worthy. Okay, all right. And so what am I saying? I'm saying that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for our sins, that the water of the word can come up out of you. He says that if you believe on me, the Bible says that water shall come up out of your belly like what? Running rivers of water. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Everybody got that?
Yes.
Everybody got that? Oh, glory to God. I'm just showing you a paradigm. I'm just showing you something. Oh, glory to God. Some stuff you can't put out there because, you know, you got these copycats sometimes. Yeah, okay. And so anyways, going over now, let's take a look at the third day. Genesis chapter 1. Verses 9. You can hit verse 8, daughter.
Genesis 1.
Verse 8. Okay. And 9, 10, and 11.
Okay, Genesis chapter 1, verses 8 through 11, and it reads, "And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so."
And so we see that God had got through finishing, creating the second day, and now he's on the third day. And the Bible says that he said, let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Mm-hmm. Now, I want you to see this because the Bible speaks figuratively. I want you to see this as a picture of affliction. The earth being covered. Come on. Oh, glory to God. It can't uncover itself. I mean, you know, sometimes when the enemy's coming against the people of God, or even coming against people, sometimes they're afflicted. Oh, glory to God. It's a picture of affliction. I tell you what, run to 43, Isaiah 43 and 2. Isaiah 43 and 2. I want to set some things up. Amen. Before I begin to talk, sometimes we got to know that how God speaks. Amen. He speaks in pictures and types and figures, symbolically. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. So sometimes we're reading the Bible, and it's like, until you begin to study types and figures and begin to question and ask God, what does certain things mean? Amen. Sometimes you'll just be reading the top of the Bible instead of getting a little deeper in the depth. Isaiah 43 and 2 says what?
Isaiah 43, verse 2.
Uh-huh.
It says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When you walk through the fire.
See, and so the waters here are a picture of, somebody say, affliction. Oh, glory to God. Being afflicted, being tormented. Amen, somebody. Okay, all right. Read Isaiah, since we did Isaiah 8. Isaiah 8, go to Isaiah 8, everybody. 7 and 10. Read, daughter.
Isaiah 8, verses 7 and 10. It says, "Now therefore, behold, the Lord brings upon them the waters of the river, strong and many, even the king of Assyria, and
now
all
we see,
his glory."
Now we see waters being symbolic of what? An army. Oh, glory to God, an army. Hallelujah. So see, you have, sometimes we're reading the Bible, we need to find out, okay, what is God talking about? All right, go. Let's go to another one. Let's go to 11, since we're there. Isaiah 11, 15 and 16. Are y'all seeing this?
Yes.
All right. You say it's good?
Yeah.
Amen. And so, because when the prophets used to talk, man, the prophets were talking in language that's above a whole lot of our heads. So we'd be reading the Bible and be like, "What are they talking about?" You know, and so I'd be like, "God, I don't understand what are they talking about?" Read
Isaiah 11:15-16, "And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptians."
Now the Egyptians represented what? The world.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, they represented the world. The sea represented nation, tongues, and people. Come on. And so here we see the Bible says that the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptians. Come on. God, how many know that God, how many know the world has a language? Come on. The world is able to make a sound. The world is able to create narratives. That's what a lot of things are going on now. We've been having narratives going on for the past 4 or 5 years. Amen, somebody. Amen. Oh, glory to God. The narrative of the enemy. And a lot of people have gotten swept away with the narrative of the enemy. Oh, glory to God. Believing everything that the news got to say. Okay, all right. I'm saying all of this for a reason, because I'm about to take you somewhere shortly. Amen. But finish reading that, daughter.
"And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind."
He's speaking of his power.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit, yes. Oh glory to God, it's also made reference to being like the wind. Come on. It's the power of God. God is able to destroy the narrative. God is able to destroy the narratives of this world. Come on, somebody. Oh glory to God. Destroy, okay. Did I say that? I'm not even going to say that. All right. All right. Hallelujah. Amen. I agree. The enemy's plan won't work. Amen. Oh, glory to God. And shall do what? Smite what?
"With his mighty wind, he shall shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seventh stream."
Look at that. God knows how to mess the narrative.
Yes.
The tongues of the world, the things that they're saying, you know how to mess it up. Come on. Oh, glory to God. You know how to destroy their narratives.
Yep.
Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Read, daughter.
"And make men go over dry shod," or cause men to be able to go over and cross on foot.
Okay, all right. And one more thing that I want to point out here. It says that he shall shake his hand over the river. Come on. Rivers are symbolic of economies. Oh, glory to God. This is why you saw Pharaoh. Pharaoh looked and Pharaoh saw cows, dead-looking cows coming up out of the river. And when Joseph interpreted it, he said, "You're about to go through a famine." And so rivers in the Bible are symbolic of what? Economies. Amen. Sometimes you're going to see God talking about rivers, and he's really going to be talking about economies in the Bible. I'm saying all of this because I got to take you somewhere. Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes you got to lay down some groundwork, amen, so that we can really see what God is saying. Somebody say for 2024. Amen. As a matter of fact, read one more. Go to Exodus 14 and 29. Exodus 14 and 29. Are y'all understanding this? Are you getting it? I'm just kind of, you know, in that teaching zone. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Exodus 14 and 29. Daughter, when you get it, read.
Exodus 14 and 29.
Read. Y'all, you're going to like this one.
Okay.
Amen.
Exodus 14 and 29. "But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea."
In the midst of the sea. Seas represent nation, tongues, people. Come on, somebody. Society and what?
And the waters were a wall unto them.
Uh-huh.
On their right hand and on their left.
It's a picture of God's protection. It's showing you that God can dictate to creation.
Okay, all right.
Where the world can't touch you.
Right.
Are y'all seeing this? It's God showing us that, guess what? I can dictate to creation.
Yes.
I can protect you. I can even use the world to protect
yes.
you. Okay.
Yes.
I can use society to protect
yes.
you. Okay. All right. Did y'all get that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Praise the Lord. Now. All right. So Genesis. Get back to Genesis 1 and 9 and 10. Read, daughter.
Genesis 1, 9 through 10 says, "And God said, mm-hmm. let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so.
Uh-huh.
And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas."
Oh, glory to God.
"And God saw that it was good." Verse 11.
"And God called it good." See? He called it good. Now, when I was making my notes here, oh, glory to God, I guess I put a note in the wrong place. Amen, somebody. But let me say this here. Tell somebody exposure. Oh, glory to God. When I was reading this, God had me to read. I heard the word expose. In other words, the same way that you're looking, you see that God is now exposing the land, because the land was covered up. The land, somebody say, could not be seen. As a matter of fact, you know what I believe went wrong here is that when I transferred it from my phone to here, I've experienced in the past sometimes where some of the things get there before the other thing get there. And then your notes will be all messed up. Anybody's ever had that happen? No? You? Okay, all right. But let me say this here, because sometimes we're looking at exposure and we're thinking all exposure is bad. Come on, we ain't got no balance sometimes in the body of Christ. We're like, oh, they're going to be exposed. Exposure can be a good thing. Ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Sometimes God want to expose you to the world. Not because it was bad, because you're carrying something. You're carrying a sound that the world needs to hear. Oh, glory to God. Well, maybe my notes got mixed up for a reason here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, yes, you're going to see exposure. This is what the Lord has given me for 2024. You're going to see exposure. But everything you see might not be true exposure. Oh, glory to God. Y'all writing this down. All right. How many know the enemy is real good at twisting the truth? He's real good at making something seem like what it isn't. Come on, somebody. He knows what God wants to do, somebody say, in this season. And so he's going to attempt to create what looks like exposure, but it's not exposure.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. And this is why you can't be so quick to jump on every bandwagon. Come on, everything that the media has to say, every narrative that the enemy has to say. Come on, we found out the narrative for the past 3 or 4 years has not been true. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. We found out who the real crook is. And I had been trying to tell people who the real crooks were anyway. They were trying to say, oh, Donald Trump is corrupt. But we're finding out who was really corrupt. Come on, somebody.
Right.
Oh, glory to God. Don't shout me down. The truth is the truth. I was trying to tell you who the crook was. Amen, somebody. Oh, glory to God. Somebody's been collecting millions. I think they're up to about $50 million now. Oh, glory to God. Selling this nation out. Come on. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, so he will attempt to create what looks like exposure, but what is not. To divert from the real exposure. Come on. I'm going to say that again. To divert from the real exposure. Let me show you something. This is what the enemy will do. we see some of this going on. A truth will come out, and then next thing you know, boom, something untrue will come out. But it's out there, but it's to take your mind off of really what was going on, a true exposure. In other words, you hit it right on the nose, Gordon. They're redirecting you away from attention and drug, even if they got to start a war. Okay. Even if they got to cause some confusion in the Middle East. Ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody say, have your way, Lord. God is going to expose things that have been hidden in the earth. Oh, glory to God. I'm going to say that again. See, because when you're talking about the earth, you're talking about everything. You're talking about the sea. It's a part of the earth. But the land was covered up, somebody say, by the sea. Oh, glory to God. All right. These things were hidden and unable to come forth until God commanded the sea, somebody say nation, tongues, and people, to uncover the land. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me show you something. He called what he exposed good. He called this exposure, somebody say good. Are y'all getting this? Are y'all hanging with me?
Yeah.
Oh, glory to God. All right. Read the next verse, daughter.
We're up to
11.
And God said, let earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit.
See, these things couldn't come forth until the earth was exposed. Oh, glory to God. He brought forth things that were good for the earth.
Yeah.
Society. That were good for the earth, that was good for society. The world, let me say this, the world needs to see you. The world needs to see us. Come on, somebody. All right. The world needs to see God light in you. Come on. Oh, glory to God. See, it's been covered up. Come on, society, the world has been working hard at covering us up. Come on, somebody. Covering up Christianity. Covering up godliness. Come on. Oh, glory to God. And so all of a sudden now, guess what? Ah, the earth. Hallelujah. See, been covering up the salt of the earth. Come on. Been covering up healing. Come on. Oh, glory to God. Somebody gets healed, nobody wants to talk about it. You got people walking around talking about, ain't no more healing happening. The devil is a liar. The healing is happening. Oh, glory to God. It's just that religion has covered it up. Come on. Hallelujah. God is uncovering stuff. All exposure is not bad. There's going to be some good. There's a lot of good exposure that's coming in 2024.
Hey! Glory!
My daughter was quiet over there the whole time, and all she got that. Oh, glory to God. Now God is going to bring forth things covered up and hidden in the earth. Somebody say, even in you. Ooh, glory to God. Don't tell me, did y'all see the fire in mother now? Did she done bounce back from her healing? Come on. I mean, it's up to, hey, you can't cover up that fire. Come on. You can't cover up that light. You know, if you think she was reaching for the microphone there, she really, give me that microphone. I got something to say. Come on. Oh, glory to God. Ooh, glory, my God, up in Zion. Oh, glory to God. Somebody say exposure.
Exposure.
Oh, glory to God. Exposing the God that's on the inside of me. Are y'all getting this?
Yes.
Yeah, I want to dance for a second there off
another. Hey! Hallelujah.
Oh, glory.
My God.
Hidden in the body of Christ. Let me show you something. Somebody say this here. The enemy will not be able to cover this up. Enemy won't be able to cover this up anymore. You ever notice now that the sea, it may, you know, you may have a tsunami, tsunami, okay, all right. you have some things. You have to sometimes to see, you know, go come across the border, but guess what? It just goes back out. Come on. I mean, you're talking about, what am I saying? I'm saying that guess what? The things that God is getting ready to expose, they won't be able to be covered back up anymore.
Amen.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. All right. These things were hidden and unable to come forth until God commanded the sea to uncover the land and the earth.
Well, I sure hope you enjoyed our broadcast, and I hope you enjoy our daily broadcast. And if it has been a blessing to you, we would like to give you an opportunity to sow into the ministry. Now, you could use our church telephone number, which is connected to the church Zelle account. The telephone number is 321-358-7455. Also, if you want to send your love offering, love gift through Zelle using our email account, it is vipministries@att.net. Those are for Zelle, but if you would like to Cash App, you can Cash App us at $Victory with an I. In other words, $VICTORI 57. We sure hope you enjoyed the broadcast. You could use also that telephone number to tell us if the broadcast has been a blessing to you, or the email address. We'd love to hear from you. God bless you. Our address is 250 North Babcock in the city of Melbourne, Florida. Our Sunday morning services start at 11 a.m. All right, God bless you.
Welcome to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. This is Denny Nugent taking you to 1 Corinthians for today's question. Have you ever noticed that if someone with a celebrity status professes faith in Christ, he or she can become an evangelical icon and spokesperson within a matter of days? We rightly celebrate the salvation of anyone, whether a homeless man or a congressman. But it seems the church is preoccupied these days with exploiting the salvation of the rich and famous. And John, that runs counter to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, quote, "There are not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise." John, what was Paul's point there?
I think there are several points there. One is that the mighty and the noble and the wise aren't interested in the gospel. They're interested in their own achievements, their own accomplishments, their own wisdom. And like the rich young ruler, he went away sorrowful because he was very rich. He wanted eternal life. Oh, but not at the expense of his riches, not at the expense of his reputation, not at the expense of his privilege and position in life. That's not true of folks who are ignoble, humble, broken, foolish, weak. Don't you remember that in the ministry of Jesus, it was all of the spiritual elites that hated him, and the people who came to him and loved him and listened to him were the tax collectors and the prostitutes and the petty criminals and the lowlifes? Because there's a level of desperation there, because there are no delusions about their condition. But that's also by God's design, because when people are converted, he gets all the glory and he puts his grace on display.
This is Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. For more in-depth teaching from 1 Corinthians, visit MacArthurCommentaries.com.